Take out your Bibles. We're going to start in Psalm chapter 78. We're talking about miracles today, miracles. Now, I'm not talking about a miracle that didn't happen. I'm talking about a miracle that did happen. But then, afterwards, it really didn't have a spiritually beneficial effect. It didn't help. When miracles don't help. Maybe that's even a better title as I'm thinking about it. You've probably gotten, if you contacted any kind of TV religious program, you probably got on their mailing list and got some of the letters. Boy, I got a little stack of them here. I save them. One of them was an envelope with some healing oil in it. Healing oil. Well, the problem is I put that in my file, and the little packet broke open. And so the whole bottom of that file folder was all oily, you know, all oily. But I got rid of that one at least. But boy, these people, there are, and here's the main guy. You can be healed. That's what it says. I'll hide his face. It just says, you can be healed. Oh, really? And he uses Isaiah 53, verse 5, where it says, by his stripes we are healed. Now, by the way, that verse is not talking about physical healing. The context of that verse is talking about spiritual healing. You can be healed from your sin in that sense. You can be born again. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. That's the kind of healing, not physical healing. Because, friends, let me tell you this. When you got saved, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a Christian this morning, and you got saved, when you got saved, God did not save your physical body. Your physical body is still getting older. Your physical body is still getting not better. Your physical body is getting worse. So your physical body did not get saved when you got saved. That's why even Christians die. Even Christians die. So by his stripes we were healed. That's not physical healing. If that was true, then the instant you got saved, you'd never get sick again. By his stripes we were healed. Then when you accepted Christ, you'd never get sick again. Do Christians get sick? Of course they get sick. They even build hospitals. Christians have been known even to build hospitals in the past. So we get all these kind of things, and they say, you need your miracle. Now, here's one that's kind of spooky to me. When you see something like this, these are really weird. That is really strange. Now, I don't know who this is, but I know who it is not. This is not Jesus. Okay. This is not Jesus, that's for sure. I don't know who it is, just some person's imagination that came up with that picture. But you look at it, and then his eyes open and close and open and close. Just weird stuff. Because they mail these out, and they get a lot of money back with these kind of things, don't they? A lot of money, they sure do. It's sad that people are that gullible, and that people do not understand the Bible. They don't know the Bible very well, do they? What is a miracle? A miracle is something contrary to nature. The laws, what we call the laws of nature, which really are God's laws. A miracle goes contrary to and something different in that way. A miracle has been called, I believe this is a good definition, an act of God. Because only God can change the natural way things are going, the way they're set up. Only God can do that, do a miracle. Miracles are seemingly impossible things that happen. That's what miracles are. I want to give you the conclusion real quick here. Now, one main thought, then I'll go back to the beginning of the outline. Miracles are contrary many times, not all the time, but many times, are contrary to one of the most important teachings and subjects and truths in the Bible. Miracles many times go contrary to faith. Faith. Miracles, faith. Miracles, you have to see something. You have to see a miracle. Faith just believes what God says, even if you don't see anything. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. Miracles, faith. Are pretty much opposites. And we're going to talk about that. Psalm chapter 78, verse 22. We see here kind of a history of Israel and all the miracles and special things that God did to Israel. And yet they did not believe. And yet it did not have the effect that some people think miracles would have. Psalm 78, verse 22. It says, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, even though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and it rained down manna upon them to eat. Now that was a miracle. And had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. And by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. In other words, God fed them in a miraculous way. And in verse 28, and He let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, and He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still. They still sinned. And believed not for His wondrous works. As much as God did in a special way, you can even say miraculous way, and we'll talk about some of the other miracles God did for Israel, they still didn't change their attitude. They still had their spiritual problems. It did not improve them in their walk with God. Now, verse 33. Therefore, their days did He consume in vanity, their years in trouble. God even brought a judgment on them. Verse 34, when He slew them, then they sought Him. When God brought a judgment on them, then all of a sudden now they want God again. And they returned and inquired early after God. Yeah, because they're going through all kinds of problems. They just want to get rid of their problems. They really don't want to serve God. They just want their life to be easier. Verse 35, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth. And they lied unto Him with their tongues. What they were saying was not how they really felt about things. Sound familiar? What they say was not their real feelings and their real thoughts. And then verse 37. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. All that God did with Israel, the miracles that God did in feeding them, the miracles that God did in bringing them out of Egypt, the miracles that God did dividing the Red Sea, and yet they still did not benefit, and they were not any better because of all these wondrous things that God did to them and for them. So when miracles don't work, number one, they don't work like they didn't work with Israel. That did not improve Israel any. They still murmured. They still complained about things. They got to the place where they wanted to get rid of Moses. They wanted to get rid of him. They were murmuring, complaining. The whole book of Numbers, really, the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, is a book of murmuring, complaining, being critical, not being happy, not being satisfied with what God has done for them and to them, what God has given them. It did not result in a humble obedience or service. All that Israel saw. Wow, we could see one miracle. We think, oh, what a wonderful thing that would be. It didn't help Israel. It didn't help them. Now, Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. We know this story well, so we'll not take a lot of time to read the entire part. But in verse 19, Luke 16, verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed. And you know the story there. Well, it says there now in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. And then verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, So they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Two different areas here. Then he said, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. What did he want? He wants Abraham or God to allow someone to rise from the dead, go and preach and witness to his brothers, so his brothers would not die lost. Notice in verse 29, Abraham's answer. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. What's he talking about? He's just talking about the scriptures. If they don't hear the scriptures, they don't hear the word of God, then they're not going to believe even if they saw a miracle. If they don't believe the Bible, they're not going to believe even if they saw a miracle. Verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. And he, Abraham, said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That'd be a miracle, somebody coming back from the dead. And the Bible says here, they're not going to get saved even if they saw that miracle. Miracles don't work that well, do they? So the rich man in hell there. Another group that where the miracles did not work very well was with the Jewish people. You know, when the Lord's going to be crucified, and it says there that the whole crowd yelled out, crucify him. Here's a crowd of people. If they didn't see some of the miracles themselves, or at least heard about some of the miracles themselves, maybe some of them were even amongst that number that were healed. I don't know. It doesn't say for sure about that. All I know is that Jesus had been there for several years. He had healed a lot of people. Everybody that was brought to him, he healed all kinds of diseases. He even raised the dead. And yet, after a short time, they could gather a huge throng of Jewish people and yelling at Pontius Pilate to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. The miracles that Jesus did to these people did not keep him from being crucified. Or at least did not keep them from gathering a huge crowd to yell, crucify him. Interesting, isn't it? The miracles didn't work there. They still did not like the Lord. They still turned on him when they had an opportunity. That's with the Jewish people. That's the same today. Another thought, too, is another time when the miracle didn't work, it wasn't needed, was when the Apostle Paul needed to be healed. And he wasn't healed. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 8 and 9. Sometimes our physical problems are for our spiritual benefit. You know, when you get one of these letters in the mail, write that quote down. Write the reference down. Write the verses down here. Send it back to them. And tell them they need to be healed from their unbelief. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 8 and 9. Paul says here, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Now what is that? Back up to verse 7. Let's find out. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. The Apostle Paul says he's seen some marvelous things, revelations, he calls them. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He was saying, because I had so many wondrous blessings from the Lord, I need to be humbled here. God knows I need to be humbled. And therefore, he sent me this physical problem, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then now verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, that I can be healed. Three times I prayed about it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You don't need to be healed. You don't need this healing. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Many times the weaker we are, the better we are spiritually. Then Paul had a change, has his change of attitude here. He shows us about it. He tells us about it. Then he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. It's good that I have this physical problem. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Look at that list sometime. Do a little word study on that list. All those different words there mean something different, and they're for our benefit. And Paul says he rejoices in these things. He doesn't have to be healthy to serve God. In fact, being unhealthy was a spiritual benefit for him. Now, I'm not saying don't pray about people being healed. We pray about that. All those on our prayer list, we pray for them physically. That might be God's will. Paul prayed about his situation 3 times. We pray about those things. But after a while, you think, well, maybe God wants me to have that. Maybe that's his will. Like the Apostle Paul, maybe it's for some spiritual benefit of mine that God is not taking away those physical problems. Now, we don't always know, but it could be. And then there are the false prophets. The false prophets, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Satan can do some miracles. Not to the power that God has, and not to the extreme degree that God can. But Satan has some powers that he's maybe kind of hiding right now, but is going to bring out someday. But someday he'll be taken away too. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now notice this. And all power and signs and lying wonders. Now who is these words connected with? Power, signs, miraculous signs, lying wonders, wondrous things that people wonder about. Who has this power to do these things? Satan does. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish. Satan can do some things that even Christians will look at and think, maybe that's from God. That must be from God. It's so great. No, it's from Satan. He has the power to do signs and lying wonders and power and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, not that have eternal life, but in them that perish. Satan works through people to do these signs and lying wonders and all these seemingly miraculous things, but they're from Satan. Satan uses people to work through to do his lying wonders. Boy, is that scary, isn't that? Doesn't that scare you? Now, I hope it goes the next step, too, in your life, that you'll now want to learn the Bible better so you can discern and have understanding about which are God's miracles and which are Satan's miracles. You need to know the difference there. But with false prophets, then there's the Pharisees also. They saw Jesus' miracles, and it did not convince them. In fact, it led them to increase in their envy and their jealousy and their antagonism. Even when they saw the miracles, they did not believe in him. In fact, it motivated them more to stand against him and more to get him crucified, more to get him away, get him off the scene. The Pharisees were another ones where the miracles didn't work with them, and they saw him. They saw Jesus Christ raising the dead. They were there. And their only thoughts after that was, how are we going to handle this? All the people are following this man. And they became more antagonistic against the Lord Jesus Christ. Why didn't they just believe it when they saw a miracle? Because it didn't work with them. If someone's bound and determined not to believe, they will not believe even if they saw a miracle. Now, the last one I want to look at this morning is Judges. Going back in the Old Testament, Judges chapter 6, beginning of verse 12. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, now notice the questions Gideon had. O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Notice the next phrase. And where be all his miracles, which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. What was his question in the middle of verse 13? Where's the miracles? Christian, have you ever asked that? Where's the miracles? Why doesn't God do miracles today? By the way, we do have a miracle today. You know what the miracle is? The miracle of the new birth. When a person repents of their sins and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, God changes them. It's a miracle, a miraculous new birth that a person has. They're born again by the Spirit of God. I call that a miracle. I call that a change, and it's an obvious change in a person's life. What a miracle that is. But now look at Gideon, verse 13. Where's all the miracles? See, that through him. In other words, we heard about the miracles, but why isn't God doing miracles now to get us out of the mess that we're in now? Why isn't God doing miracles now to reveal himself to us and to the people around us, to get us out of the situation we're in now? What about the miracles? Where are they? Let me just give you a couple thoughts here on Gideon. He started to trust in miracles. He wasn't trusting in the God, he was trusting in miracles. Another thought about these miracles, he started to look to them. This is what people do when they believe in miracles. They start to look, they're looking for miracles. In fact, they look so hard and they look so much and they want to see miracles so much that they'll believe a false miracle when they see it. What's that story? I put it in the bulletin, didn't I? But the man who was all excited says, I saw Jesus in the clouds. And then they said, well, what did that lead that man to do? Look for more clouds? See, God wants us to look to his word. To his word. So Gideon here, he started to trust in miracles. He said, boy, we have some miracles. That would really show something to people. He started to look to them. He wanted to rely on them. He started to expect them. And he started to want the miracles. He said, I want these miracles again. God did them in the past. Let him do them now. He started to want the miracles. Why? Because he wanted to excuse himself from having to do anything. I want God to do all these things. But God wants us to be involved in these ministries. Wanting miracles sometimes, many times, is an excuse for not wanting to do something ourselves. And not wanting to do what God wants us to do now. We want miracles. We don't want to do anything. Let God do it. Put it all on God. No, God wants us to be a part of that. Miracles? Pastor, if you had a chance to see a miracle, a real miracle from God, wouldn't you like to? Yeah, I would. After I'm preaching all against miracles this morning, I'm telling you, yeah, it'd be fun to see a miracle, but I'd beware that it did not lead me away from my study, reading, obeying, loving the Word of God. And that's what miracles do. They pull people away from the Word of God. Wow, do you see what God did? You know, he healed that person. And boy, this TV evangelist, he said this. Boy, the miracles are happening. I'm hearing about them. They're getting their eyes away from the Word of God. And they're getting in on miracles, these supernatural things. Friends, here is how you grow in faith. You want to get somebody saved, get them in the Scripture, the Word of God. Give them the Word of God. Live by faith. Witness by faith. Obey him by faith. And faith means believing what God said. And we have the written record today of what God said. This is living by faith. This is how you're going to grow. This is how you're going to get people saved. Let's use that word of God and let's believe it. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord. I see so many false things being taught, especially in this area of miracles and signs and wonders and dreams and visions and all those kind of things. Lord, please help us to get back to the Scripture. May we as Christians understand that. And may we witness to people through your word, too, to get them saved. So, Father, bless now the invitation time. Give us what we need spiritually. I pray people will feel the freedom to come forward and pray about whatever it is they desire to pray about. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.